Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Pei Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we discussed the idea of chatzos oise ikul, that at midnight, limbs of korbonos that were on the mizbeach that became what the Gemara termed shriri, very hard, dried out, but not quite coals. Those are considered as if the requirement of their burning has been completed. That's the concept of equal, or sometimes translated as consumed, or literally digested. But it, for our purposes, it means that it's reached its point of completion as far as Mizbeach requirements are concerned. And therefore, if it were to jump off the Mizbeach after the limb has reached this point called Shriri, there would be no mitzvah of putting it back on the Mizbeach. And likewise, as a result of Ikol, there is no longer any problem or violation of Me'ilah if one were to derive personal benefit from them. That's the idea of Chatzois Oise Ikol. Continuing in this theme, we will be starting our Gemara today at the bottom of Pei Vov Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom, at which point we will immediately encounter a geometric form that requires explanation. We will see a diamond. The role of this diamond is explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, topic and structural note, where we've combined the two, the topic heading with the structural note. And you can see the diamond is featured, and we've written in the outside margin, Pirshu. The word Pirshu will appear in the diamond. Pirshu means separated from. Evorim shepirshu me'al gabi hamizbeach kodim chatzos. Limbs of a korban that got separated or jumped off the mizbeach before midnight. Vehechziron. Now, and then they were returned to the mizbeach. Two options. One, achar chatzos, and two, la'achar amud hashachar. They were removed or jumped off the mizbeach before midnight, but then put back on the mizbeach after chatzos, or after amud hashachar, as the Gemara will explain. So we now pick up the Gemara, itmar, pirshu koidem chatzos, v'hichziron achar chatzos. Limbs that were not completely, did not become coals yet, they were shriri, but they were removed from the mizbeach before chatzos, and put back on after chatzos. Rabo Omar chatzos sheni oichloson. The second chatzos, that would mean the midnight of the next day, accomplishes their becoming categorized as shriri. And we mentioned that when something achieves shriri after a chatzos goes by, then you don't have to put it on the mizbeach any further. If it were to jump, let's say, jump off the mizbeach after tomorrow's chatzos, there would be no need to put it back on. And likewise, once something achieves its ochloson, its equal status, there would be no more mi'ilah. Rav Chisda Omar, amud hashachar ochloson. The daybreak accomplishes equal. Amri Bei Rav, my time of the Rav Chisda. Why does Rav Chisda say that Amud HaShachar accomplishes equal? It may very well be that the Gemara is focusing on Rav Chisda because the suggestion of Rabbah that Chatzos, even though it's Chatzos Sheni, Ose equal, that's standard procedure that Chatzos accomplishes equal. So the Gemara is focusing on Rav Chisda. Why does he say that Amud HaShachar is capable of achieving this equal status? Once again, equal status means that you would no longer have to put it back on the Mizbech in the event that it falls off, and there would be no more Me'ilah prohibition, the violation of deriving personal benefit from sanctified items. So what is the basis of Rav Chisda that says Amud HaShachar accomplishes that? The following reasoning is presented. Uma chatzois she'ein oise lino. Oise equal midnight, which is not a time that is serious enough or significant enough to accomplish lina, to label something as lon. Lon is a situation where something has its appropriate time has lapsed. Lina has applications in several different areas, but for our purposes we'll just view it as a certain halachic category. So chatzos does not accomplish that, and yet oise equal, chatzos does have the capability of creating equal or establishing the equal status. Amud HaShachar she'oise lino. Amud HaShachar, which is more significant than chatzos in this sense, that it does signify the time period at which something is then labeled as lino. Eino din she'oise equal, then all the more so it should have the power, the capacity of establishing equal. And once again, we're referring to the shriri, the hardened limbs, hardened as a result of their exposure to the fire of the ma'arocha, of the fireplace on the top of the mizbeach. So that, according to Rav Chisda, Amud HaShachar certainly is a time period that's capable of establishing equal. Now we have another scenario. Pirshu Koidem Chatzos, this is the same beginning as the previous, as the number one case before, where the limbs jumped off the mizbeach before chatzos, v'hechziron li'achar amud HaShachar, and they were placed back on the mizbeach, this time though after daybreak. Rabbo Omar chatzos sheni ochloson. Rabbo is consistent with what he said before, that the second chatzos, the next day's midnight, will accomplish equal. Rav Chisda Omar ein bohen equal le'olam. They will never achieve the equal status. Let's glance at the Rashi, fourth line from the top, Ebon equal l'olam, v'chol shah shepoikin, and whenever these limbs would jump off the mizbeach, yachzir, you would still be obligated to put them back on, u'moyalin bohen, and they would still be subject to the me'ila prohibition, the violation of one who derives personal benefit from them. Ad shiasu deshin. This would continue until they become actual ash. Continuing in the Gemara, we notice a triangle. This is explained in the outside margin. Deois shesoivrim dechatzois oise equal afilu sheloi al roish hamizbeach. We will see opinions that hold that chatzos has the power of establishing equal even if the limb is not on the top of the mizbeach. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks, Uman leimolon de chatzois beroisha mizbeach mashvilu equal. Who is to say that chatzos creates equal only when the limb is on the top of the mizbeach? Dilmo kol hecho de mishkicha lehu mashvilu equal. It could be that wherever the limb is found, if it's achieved a shriri status, then equal will be accomplished wherever the limb is. Shochu mitam hilchusok Rav Yosef, and it was sent from Eretz Yisrael that the halacha is to follow Rav Yosef. Itmar nami Omar Rav Chiya bar Abba, and was stated likewise by Rav Chiya bar Abba, like Rav Yosef. Pirshu koidem chatzos. If something got removed from the mizbeach, a limb got removed from the mizbeach before chatzos, at chatzos it was not on the top of the mizbeach, and they were placed back on the top of the mizbeach after chatzos, he rules loy nenin veloy moyalin. We've dashed underlined velo moyalin because this is the key point that shows us that chatzos accomplishes equal even when the limb is not on the top of the mizbeach, as witnessed by the fact that he says, even though one is not to benefit lo nenin, but nevertheless there is no mi'ila. And why is there no mi'ila violation? That's because chatzos accomplished equal even though the limb was not on the mizbeach. V'chein tana Bar Kapora. And likewise, Bar Kapora teaches in his Tanaic source, like Rav Yosef, Pirshu Kodim Chatzos, V'herziron Li'achar Chatzos, something that got removed from the Mizbeach before midnight and was put back on after, Yoitzin Midei Mi'ila. They leave the Mi'ila category, whereby if one were to benefit from these limbs that were not on the Mizbeach at Chatzos, nevertheless, he would not be in violation of Mi'ila. Omar Le Rav Popo L'Abaye, V'chime Achar D'Sholchu Mitam Hilchusok Rav Yosef. After it has already been established by that which they sent from Eretz Yisrael, that the Loch is like Rav Yosef, the Omar Rav Chiyo Bar Abo, V'chein Toni Bar Kapora. And likewise, Rav Chiyo Bar Abo followed that approach, and Toni Bar Kapora followed that approach. Rabo V'Rav Chisto B'mai Pligi. The original opinions that we saw in this sugya that we had labeled 1 and 2 above, what are they arguing about? In other words, they don't have this opinion that that Chatzos accomplishes equal even Shelo Al Gabi Mizbeach. Neither Rabba nor Rav Chisto seem to hold this. So, however, it seems that all the opinions say that Chatzos is capable of accomplishing equal. So what are they arguing about? The answer to that is they really are arguing about a different mitzias, a different case. Omar Lei, so Rav Abaye answers Rav Papa. He says, Bishmeinim. They are talking about limbs that are very fatty. Rashi points out, Bishmeinim, Afilu Hukshu, even if they become hard, Lo Havye equal. They do not achieve the equal status. In other words, this description of hard is parallel to the way we described shriri before, that they are hard. But in the case of fatty limbs, their hardness is not the same thing as the standard shriri. Deshunam, their fat content, me'akvon mileosos deshen, prevents them from becoming ash. So therefore, Rabbo and Rav Chisto apply to the Shmeinim a different standard as to when equal is accomplished. You notice there's a slash mark in our Gemara. This indicates that that which follows is a new idea as far as the logical flow of Gemara is concerned. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, She'elas Rava, Rava's question, Ha'im lino mo'eles al evorim shehoyu b'roshoy shel mizbeach. Does lino have an effect or take hold on limbs that were at the top of the mizbeach? The idea of lino, let us say with regard to limbs, would be that if they're appropriate time lapses, then one would not be obligated to place them back into the fire, or it might even be said they are not allowed to be placed back in the fire because they have become the victim of lino. As far as that level of prohibition, that itself can be discussed further, but not at this point. At this point, we're interested in simply establishing, does the legal category of lino apply to limbs that were on the top of the mizbeach, but not in the fire? This is presented by the Gemara as a long question. You can see we've marked this with a she'ela, with a vertical dashed line to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, indicating the length of Gemara text to establish or develop the question. In the course of this long question, we also have a trapezoid or volcano shape. This is explained under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. These are Shlavim Kedei Lahovin Ma HaSheila. These are simply stages to understand what is the question that's being asked. So we now begin the Gemara regarding the issue of the legal category of lina setting upon limbs that were on the top of the Mizbeach. Boimine Rova me Rabo. Rova asks of Rabo, Lino Moeles Beroishoi Shel Mizbeach Oy Eino Moeles Beroishoi Shel Mizbeach. Does Lino take effect on limbs that were on the top of the Mizbeach and not in the fire proper? Hechidomi. Well, what are we talking about in the question? Ilema Delo Yardu, if you're talking about limbs that did not descend, did not leave the top of the Mizbeach. And the question may be that, well, if you have limbs that were at the top of the Mizbeach, and we should have pointed out earlier, but better late than ever, as they say, that when we talk about lino and limbs, we're talking about Amud HaShachar. This idea was mentioned earlier in the Gemara. One could have seen this in the logic that was presented on the upper part of the page. We saw this 4 lines from the top where the Gemara said, Amud HaShachar Sha'oisa Lino. So, Amud HaShachar is the time frame that we're talking about. We're talking about limbs on the top of the Mizbeach. And if the question is, limbs that were on the top of the Mizbeach that had not been in the fire when Amud HaShachar, when daybreak passed, and if you're talking about limbs that were not taken off the top at all, the question may be, if you think the question is, should I take them off after Amud HaShachar? Well, that's not a question. Hashta lonu ba'azora amris delo yerdu. If you have limbs that were not on the top of the Mizbeach at all, they were on the floor of the courtyard, the azor of the Beis HaMikdash. We nevertheless say that if they were brought on to the top of the Mizbeach, they are not to be brought down. But Roishay Shel Mizbeach Mimaya, would you have any room to ask a question concerning limbs that were not taken off to begin with? Certainly, I would not have an obligation of taking them off the Mizbeach. So the question at this point cannot be concerning limbs that were never taken off the Mizbeach, but simply were not in the fireplace, and should I take them off after Amud HaShachar? So if that's not the question, then what is the question? V'ela d'yordu. The question concerns limbs that were taken off the top of the Mizbeach after daybreak. Let us glance at the Rashi, Ela diyardu, a few lines up from here. You see Rashi, Ela diyardu, min ha-mizbeach, le'achar amud ha-shachar, mi boyaloch. The question concerns limbs that were on the top of the Mizbeach all night, not in the fire. However, after Amud HaShachar, they came off the top. The question then is to put two sides, and we'll have it in the Rashi Aleph, and then the Odilma Beis a few lines later. We'll continue with the Rashi to serve as introduction to the Gemara. Rashi continues, Aleph, mi have kishar lonim v'nifsalim amud ha-shachar. Are we to view these limbs that were on the Mizbeach throughout the night, however, removed after Amud HaShachar, and should we view them as a standard case of lon, and they become disqualified as when Amud HaShachar passes? Mind you, they were removed after Amud HaShachar. So do we say that the fact that they're right now off the Mizbeach, and an Amud HaShachar had gone by, even though when Amud HaShachar went by, they were still on the Mizbeach, are they treated as a standard lun, utna b'psulim? And we've learned concerning psulim, kach im yardu lo yalu, that if something that was disqualified has been removed, it's not to be brought back on the Mizbeach. Oy dilma, or possibly ein lino moyeles. Lino does not take effect in this case. The lo nifsalu, and they do not become disqualified v'achzer v'aleim, and therefore you would be expected to bring them back on the Mizbeach. Once again, we're emphasizing the scenario is that we're talking about limbs that were on the Mizbeach when Alos passed by, so that they don't represent the standard case of lina, of something that was not on the Mizbeach at alos, rather on the floor of the Azora. Then in Eino Chinami we would say, if it wasn't on the Mizbeach at all when alos went by, then you would not bring them back onto the Mizbeach. However, we're talking about a case that they were taken off the Mizbeach after alos, and the question now is, does Lina set in on these limbs, or possibly not? So the question is now presented in the Gemara with detail. Picking up again from the beginning of the line, the Elo Diyordu. Notice we now have Aleph, and then the couple lines later you have O Dilma Beis, where the O Dilma is squiggled on the line, as we do when we present a second side or an alternative to whatever. So this question has two sides. L'shulchan medamin on law. Are we to compare this situation to the shulchan that had on it the lechem haponim? Disnan. There is a Tanaic source that describes a case. Here the Gemara is very, very brief, but the lechem haponim was supposed to be set on the table in the Heichal on Shabbos and left there for a week and removed the next Shabbos. Let us say, for whatever reason, they didn't set it up the right time. They set them up on the table after Shabbos. So by the time the next Shabbos comes along, they haven't been on the table the full amount of time. So the halacha is, they stay on the shulchan till the following Shabbos. So in effect, they've been from Sunday of week one, and that entire week goes by, including Shabbos, and then at the end of week two, they're ready to be distributed as kafi the halacha. So this source says, "Afilu hein al hashulchan yomim rabim." Even if the breads are left on, in this particular case, they're left on for almost 2 weeks. Ein bekach klum. It doesn't affect them at all. And in our case, we have the same. This is an attempt to parallel the. Just like the breads, they are not affected by the fact that they were on the table so long, so too our limbs that were on the Mizbeach beyond Alois HaShachar, even though they're taken off after Alois HaShachar, put them back up on the Mizbeach. Ein bekach klum, oy dilma. Or do we say that which is on the Mizbeach is not to be paralleled to that which is on the Shulchan, because the Shulchan is a service vessel, and the altar has a din of the floor, lekarka medaminon. And if we compare the Mizbeach to the floor, then we would say, well, since it's taken off of the Mizbeach and it's now after Alos, don't put them back on. So the question has been raised. Omar Le Rabba answers, Ein Lina Moeles Baroshi Shel Mizbeach. When you're dealing with things that are on the top of the Mizbeach, when Alos goes by, so the chance of being labeled Lon or Lina with the passage of Alos does not take effect. And therefore, you are to return them to the top of the Mizbeach. The Gemara now asks, Kiblo mine oiloi, did Rava accept this answer or not? In order to answer the question, you'll see we have a long marking, a toshma, in this case it's an answer, that lasts a few lines, as you can see, from the dashed vertical line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. Toshma, ditmar, and of course we're going to be waiting for Rava's point of view, which will be featured a couple lines from now. So the itmar evarim shelonu bazora, evarim that were left over, their time lapsed in while they were in the courtyard. Mekater v'hoylech kol halayla. So these are limbs that were not offered by day, which is the best time, the immediate time to offer them. So you have all night to put them back on the mizbeach. To offer them on the top of the Mizbeach. Lon Beroshe Shel Mizbeach. If they are Lon Beroshe Shel Mizbeach, if they were left on the top of the Mizbeach, Mikate Veholech Le'olam. Well, as long as they're on the top of the Mizbeach, Lina has no effect. So that even if they're on the top of the Mizbeach throughout the night and Amud HaShachar goes by, you still can put them into the fire. Yardu. However, if they were taken off the top of the Mizbeach, Rabba Omar Yalu, Rabba, consistent with what he said before, says put them back on. Rava Omar Lo Yalu, and here we've dashed underlined Lo Yalu. Rava disagrees. Shma Mina Lo Kibla Mine Shma Mina. We see from here that Rava did not accept Rabba's approach from before, in so far as Rava says that if it was on the top of the Mizbeach when Alos went by, but they were subsequently taken off the Mizbeach, Lina does take effect, and since they were taken off the Mizbeach, they are not to be put back on the top. The Mishnah on Daf Pei Vov Amud Aleph mentioned, you can see this on the last of the narrow lines on Pei Vov Amud Aleph, if you have that available. It said, Kishem Shemizbeach Mekadesh Esharoi Loi Kacha Kevesh Mekadesh. Just like the Mizbeach has the capacity of sanctifying that which is fit for it, sanctifying, we've understood till now, having to mean that which is brought up on the Mizbeach, even if it has a problem that would ordinarily disqualify it, it nevertheless stays on the Mizbeach. So too, the Kevesh, the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach, has the same power of Kiddush, of sanctifying. The Mishnah goes on to talk about the Mizbeach and the Kevesh being Mekachim, and likewise, the service vessel, the Kalim, have the same capacity of sanctification. When we talk about sanctification in the case of service vessels, there's an additional element, and that is that it achieves Kedushas Aguf. It achieves an inherent type of sanctity. Let us now turn to our Gemara on the lower part of Pei Zayin and continue. Kishem Shemizbeach Mekadesh Tonu Rabbonan. We have a Tanaic source in which a Pasuk is featured, Hanogea B'Mizbeach. The Pasuk says that which comes into contact with the Mizbeach becomes sanctified. Ein li elo Mizbeach, Kevesh Minayin. From this Pasuk itself, I would know only the Mizbeach. From where do we know that the ramp as well? Talmud Lomar Es HaMizbeach. This is actually a different Pasuk. This is from Perek Mem Pasuk Yud. And the word Es comes to include the ramp as well. Kli Shoreis Minayin. From where do we know that service vessels have this capacity of sanctification? Talmud Lomar Kol Hanogea Bohem Yikdosh. This, in fact, is a third Pasuk dealing with the service vessels. We now encounter a geometric form, and this is featured on the outside margin, explaining what the role of the house form is in this sukya. Shlovim behatzogas hashelos, stages in presenting the question. Kleishoris mao shikachu es hapsulim. Do service vessels have this capacity of sanctifying that which has become disqualified? We saw in the case of the Mizbeach and the Kevesh that they do have that capacity. What about service vessels? Bomine Resh Lakish Mir Byochanan. Kleishores Mahu Shikachu es Hapsulim. The question is, do service vessels have the capacity of sanctifying that which has been disqualified? An example would be a mincha meal offering that became tomei. A tomei meal offering that was placed into a kli shoreis. Rashi points out that the havamina at this point, the thought that will be changed later, but the havamina is that the question is being asked with regard to pidyon, with regard to redemption. Now we know that things that achieve kedushas haguf, that's an inherent type of sanctity. This is a sanctity that's different than what's known as Kedushas Domim, something that has sanctity with regard to its value. Here, something that has Kedushas Aguf inherent sanctity cannot be redeemed. Its Kedusha cannot be transferred to money and thereby the original item become mundane, become chulin. So the question is, what about a mincha that became tomei? There's a general principle that Minochos and Nesochim that became Tomei do have a Pidyon option. What happens if they are placed into a Kli Shoreis? So that is the question. Can they be redeemed? A Mincha that became Tomei and placed into a service vessel. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan answered Tenisua. we have the following Tanaic source, our Mishnah, in fact, that will answer the question. And the answer will be that the service vessels are Mekadesh, and as a result, they won't be able to experience redemption. Which we said before, that's pidyon, or the transfer of the sanctity from itself onto money. The source, quoting our Mishnah, Kashem Shemizbeach Vakevish Mikachin Esaroi Lohen, just like the Mizbeach and the ramp have the ability to sanctify that which is fit for them, Kach Kalim Mikachin. Similarly, service vessels are Mekadesh, and as a result of that, they would have Kedushas Haguf, even Menochos Shenitmu, even Menochos that had become Tomei, but were placed in a service vessel. And they would have Kedushas Haguf, and they would be subject to a prohibition or an inability to redeem them. There would be no more possibility of redemption. Prior to the mincha being placed in the service vessel, had you had a meal offering that became tamei but was not placed in a special service vessel, it still would have been able to be redeemed. Continuing in the Gemara, as we see another house marking, this indicates another shlab, another stage of analyzing the question. It's true that Rabbi Yochanan answered the question, but what really was the original question? Omar Lei, Reish Lakish, responds and says, L'chadchilo likrav ko mi boyali. My question really was not regarding redemption, but can they be offered? So Rabbi Yochanan answers, Ha nami tanino, the issue of can a mincha that became tomei, that was placed in a service vessel, be offered? We have the following source from which we will try to answer the question. So we have the source that says, Shekiblu psulim vizorku es domon. My lav, what are we supposed to infer or understand from this source? Shekiblu psulim vizorku psulim. This is a reference to blood of a korban that was received by unqualified individuals and was sprinkled by unqualified individuals. So those kind of things, we say, l'chadchila should not be brought on the mizbeach. If you have, let's say, limbs of a korban whose blood was received and sprinkled by unqualified individuals, so we say, l'chadchila, they should not be brought on the mizbeach. However, if they are brought on the Mizbeach, if these kind of limbs are brought on the Mizbeach, they're not to be brought down. We can infer, though, from this, that had unqualified people done the Kabbalah Sadam, but the Zrika was done by Ksherim, the sprinkling was done by qualified Kehanim, then L'chadchila, you could put them on the Mizbeach. That's what we're trying to infer from this source. So, how is that to be, let's say, applied to our issue? Let us take a look at Rashi, who develops the entire question and answer. The top Rashi, he says, Shekiblu psulim, v'hodar zorku psulim. V'lomali zorku, why does the Mishnah use or emphasize the word zorku? After all, mikabola ifsalala, after it was received by an unqualified individual, it became pusul, it became unacceptable. What is gained by adding that a pusul did the zrika? Ilav lashminan, unless its purpose is to tell us, taimo de zorku psulim hu davule vorim, the role of a zorku is to tell me or to enable me to set myself up for an inference, to tell me that the reason that the evorim, the limbs whose blood was received by psulim, is classified as something that should not be put on the mizbeach lechatchila, that's because the Zrika also took place by the unqualified individuals. De ifsul Bosar Bezrikas Psulim, because the Bosar, the limbs, became truly puzzled, truly disqualified, completely disqualified by the sprinkling of the unqualified Kohanim. But now we can infer, Ha Zarku Ksherim. However, if you have a situation where the sprinkling was done by qualified Kohanim, even though the original Kabbalas Adam was done by unqualified people, let's go over that again. The Kabbalah was done by Psulim, but the Zrika was done by Ksherim. Rashi goes on to say, Lechadchilo nami yalu evorim. You can put the evorim on the Azbeach, even lechadchilo, even at the outset. The Zrika ma'al yahu. This is a positive, this is a good Zrika. Ve'afagav the kibu Psulim. Even though unqualified people did the Kabbalah Sadam, the receipt of the original blood after the sacrifice, after the slaughtering. Why? Why are we saying that if Ksherim did the Zrika, it can lichatchila be placed on the Mizbeach? Mishum dekadshe klishores lizrok lichatchila, because the vessel that was used to receive the blood, even though it was held by an unqualified coin, but the vessel served to sanctify the blood to enable one to do a lichatchila sprinkling. So with that, we would then have Rabbi Yochanan would be answering our question, the question of Reish Lakish. Something that's posel, that's like the case of the mincha that's tamei, that's placed in a kli shares, can it be brought onto the mizbeach? The answer would be yes. The Gemara now rejects this. Loi shekiblu psulim inami shezorku psulim. The Mishnah that teaches that if unqualified Kohanim were involved, lechatchila, you should not put it on the Mizbeach. That's talking about a case where the unqualified Kohanim did either the Kabbalah or the Zrika. Rashi, inami shizorku psulim, where the umishum hochi gufa, umishum hi gufa itzrich lashminan. It's for this point alone that the Mishnah teaches what it teaches. Im olu evorim lo yerdu. If they were brought up on the Mizbeach, they should not be brought down. V'afalpi shenifsalu bezrika, even though they became posel at the Zrika stage. But for our purposes, the Gemara's rejection is to be understood as follows. We originally thought that the Mishnah, which was talking about the im olu lo yerdu, but lechatchila lo yalu. Under what circumstances did we think lechatchila lo yalu? That's when the unqualified did both the Kabbalah and the Zrika, leaving room to infer, but had the unqualified done the Kabbalah, but the Zrika was done properly, you could lechatchila have offered the limbs. The Gemara rejects that by saying that the Mishnah is not teaching one case, leaving us room to infer something else, but rather two separate cases are featured here. Either Psulim did the Kabbalah, or the Psulim did the Zrika. But from this very case we see that if the Psulim did the Kabbalah, that's it. It doesn't matter if later on the Akosher did the Zrika. It's become disqualified. And the fact that it was in a Kli Shores, we do not see that the Kli Shores has the power of imparting a sanctity that would enable you, lechatchila, to offer it. And thereby, what Rabbi Yochanan was trying to answer is rejected. We see a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that we're now going to approach a new issue. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei heading, the topic heading, She'ela. We have a question that the Gemara will present. Avir Mizbeach, the airspace over the Mizbeach, Kimizbeach Domi Oiloi. Is it viewed as being on the Mizbeach or not? Im Tola Evorim Psulim ba'avir roish ha-mizbeach ki-mizbeach domi v'lo yerdu. Do we say that if a person suspended unqualified or disqualified limbs in the airspace of the mizbeach, it is as if it's on the mizbeach proper and they should not be taken off? Oy lav ki-mizbeach domi v'yerdu. Or do we say the fact that it's hovering over the mizbeach is not sufficient, and therefore if evorim psulim were hovering over the mizbeach, they are to be lowered, to be taken off. That will be the question itself. Then we will notice in our Gemara triangles. And if, as you scan down the Omid and spilling over to the top of Pei Ches Omid Aleph as well, you will notice a flurry of triangles appearing in two directions. So in our structural note in the outside margin, you can see the Mivneh with a triangle featured, and in parentheses Ma'akav. Ma'akav shows that we're going to try to attempt to follow the flow, the back and forth nature of the discussion in this Gemara. Nisyonos lohichiach, with the triangle pointing up, with the point upwards, we will be attempting to show the avir mizbeach ki mizbeach domi, that the airspace over the mizbeach has a din, has a status of the mizbeach itself. With the triangle flipped, pointing downwards, nisyonos the lav ki mizbeach domi, attempts to show that the airspace is not like the top. Heora, we have a little note that we're adding to this. Lo'erich sugizu ad siyuma b'daf pei ches amud aleph. Throughout the length of this sugya until the end on pei ches amud aleph, simanu b'rashi with diamonds milois hama'akav, words that Rashi uses to show the attempt to keep track of the flow of the Gemara. The haros at kama Rashi melava haloime gam benekudazu shel mivneh. Our attempt in using the diamonds in the Rashi is to bolster and show our marking system is based on Rashi himself. That shows that you'll see in the words of Rashi how sensitive Rashi is to structure, ukechizuk l'shita shelanu simunei haTalmud, and to give further strength and basis for our entire system of marking the Gemaras. So we now pick up the Gemara from this third line from the top. Ibaya laho is added into the girsa. Avir mizbeach ki mizbeach domi oy loy. Is the airspace above the mizbeach viewed as if it's on the mizbeach proper or not? Toshma. So we attempt to show from a quote from our Mishnah. It says, Kishen shamizbeach mikadesh kach hakevesh mikadesh. Just like the mizbeach has the ability to sanctify unqualified or disqualified limbs, so too the ramp leading up to the mizbeach has that same capacity. The e amris avir mizbeach lav ki mizbeach domi. If you were to think that the airspace of the mizbeach is not viewed as the mizbeach, then avir kevesh nami lav ki kevesh domi. You would assume then that the airspace over the ramp is not like the ramp either. Well then, hechi masik le mi kevesh la mizbeach. Have le yorud. How could you possibly ever bring up onto the mizbeach disqualified limbs? After all, let us just imagine you have a disqualified limb on the ramp. As soon as the kohen picks it up to bring it to the mizbeach proper, it would be in the airspace of the ramp. But as such, if you're going to say that airspace is not like the item itself, it would be considered yorud. Yorud means something taken off. And we know from the Mishnayos already that disqualified limbs, even though we say once they're brought on, they're not to be taken down, but if they're taken down, they're not to be brought back up. So if you're saying that airspace is not like being on it proper, it's tantamount to its having been taken down. It's being removed from the, in this case, the ramp. How can the Mishnah suggest that limbs that are brought onto the ramp, disqualified limbs that are brought onto the ramp, continue all the way to the top of the mizbeach? Is it not true that in the interim they were picked off, they're picked up over the ramp to carry them? And at that point, if you're going to say airspace is not like the item itself, it's considered as if it's been removed. And as per the rule we mentioned just before, once it's removed, it's not brought back on. The Gemara answers, "De nogad lei, he drags them."
Notice with the triangle, and this we're going to have to keep track of throughout the entire sugya. At this point, the Gemara is suggesting I can still maintain that Avir Mizbeach is in fact not like the Mizbeach, that airspace is considered off. Nevertheless, if you'll ask, how can limbs that are brought, disqualified limbs that are brought onto the ramp actually make their way to the top of the Mizbeach, are they not in the airspace at some point? The answer is no, they're not in the airspace because the Kohen drags the limbs on the ramp without lifting them up. Therefore, they don't enter the airspace. Therefore, they're not considered as if being taken down. Question. The whole Avir Yesh Bein Kevesh LaMizbeach. Is there not a gap between the very top edge of the ramp and the surface of the roof of the top of the Mizbeach? So at that point, is it not in fact in a state of airspace? It's not on the ramp anymore. The limb is not on the ramp. And it's at that point hasn't reached yet the Mizbeach. And yet we go all the way. So notice with the point facing up, we're in a position trying to suggest that the Avir airspace is like being on proper. The Gemara says, no, we're not going to assume, we're not going to conclude that airspace is like on proper, but rather, with regard to the limb that's being dragged on the surface of the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach, it may be true that it goes over a little bit of a gap. However, Rubo la Kevesh ki Kevesh, Rubo la Mizbeach ki Mizbeach. While you're dragging the limb up to the top, as long as the majority of the limb is still on the ramp, it's considered as part of the ramp. When the majority of the limb reaches the top of the Mizbeach, it's considered on top. The rove establishes, the majority establishes that it is on the Mizbeach, so that at no point did you have a situation that it's neither here nor there. So the Gemara asks, well, if that's the case, if you're telling me that you follow the you establish location by virtue of where the rove is. Tifshot meha hodaboy Rami Bar Chama. Why not answer Rami Bar Chama's question, who once asked, Yesh chibur le'oilin oiloi? Oilin are limbs, those are items that are destined to be brought onto the Mizbeach, things that go up. Are they viewed as connected, as are all the molecules of those items being brought to the top of the Mizbeach considered a solid unit, chibur, attached to one another? Olo, or do we not view the molecules, so to speak, as attached to one another? Now, if you were, according to Rami Bar Chama's question, if you say ein chibur le'oilin, then every molecule that would reach that gap, that airspace, it would be considered, well, at that point, it's not on the Mizbeach nor on the ramp, and we don't care about the remainder that hasn't yet reached the airspace, because every molecule, if you hold ein chibur, every molecule is viewed as a separate entity. But what we're saying is that you do look at where the majority of the limb is located. So should we not say tifshot diyesh chibur? Should we not in fact conclude and answer his question that yesh chibur, that we view the limb as a solid continuum, singular entity? At this very point in the Gemara, the feeling is that if you're going to say your approach of Rubo Lekevish Kekevish and Rubo Lemizbeach is Kemizbeach, then Rami Bar Chama should never have really asked his question. It would be, he would have an answer for it over here. So from the fact that he has the question, maybe we shouldn't be saying Rubo Lekevish Kekevish and Rubo Lemizbeach Kemizbeach. And if things are still to be considered kosher, it must be, like we said, that Avir, the airspace is like being on the item itself. The Gemara says, no, we're not going to say that Avir Kemizbeach Mizbeach. And as far as the fact that Rami Bar Chama had a question, we do have an answer. Holo Kashya. This point shouldn't be a difficulty. Tifshot. So, and
let this serve as a conclusion to his question.
Notice, at this point in the Gemara, one could easily make a mistake, if not for the fact that we have markings. The triangle is maintaining the same position as the previous triangle. So we're not, right now, at this juncture, we're not in a back and forth. But rather, if the last triangle prior to this was, in fact, pointing to the direction that Avir HaMizbech is Lav HaMizbech Domi, this piece of Gemara Maskif Law that we're about to read, in fact, follows in the same direction, trying to argue that Avir Mizbeach in fact is Lav Kemizbeach. Maskif Law Rova Bar Avchonon, the E Amris Avir Mizbeach Kemizbeach Domi. If you're going to try to say that it is, yes, like the Mizbeach, that airspace is like on the Mizbeach itself, that even if something is lifted off the surface of the Mizbeach, it's considered as if it's still attached to the Mizbeach. If that be the case, then Oilas Ha'oif, an Ola bird offering that experienced the Malika on the top of the Mizbeach, even though an Ola Sa'of is something that's generally processed on the floor of the Azora, but the Mishnah teaches us that an Ola Sa'of Mlikasu B'chol Mokim Kosher, so that an Ola Sa'of can be done, it's Malika, not it's Zrika Sadam, or it's Hazo'o Sadam, but the Malika can be done at the top of the Mizbeach. We also know that an Ola Sa'of can be processed with a psul machshava. That's not a good thing to do. It's an avera to do. However, psul machshava, incorrect mind thoughts regarding time, can take hold when it comes to an ola sa'of, as well as many other korbanos. The Gemara is asking, if you're going to say that avir mizbeach kemizbeach domi, then Oilas Ha'oif, an Oilas Ha'oif whose Malika takes place at the top of the Mizbeach, Deposla B'machshava, that can be ruined with a Machshava of Chutz L'Zmanoi, Heishi Mishkachas Lo, how can you have a situation that it's considered Posel and still be offered? And how can you say it's Posel and not be offered? In order to understand the question, one must look into the Rashi. So we look at the Rashi, the third to last narrow line. Heifi mishkachas lo, deposal bo machshava chutz lizmano. How could the machshava of incorrect time take hold of an ola sa'of? Hokalte avir hamizbeach. Has it not been absorbed into the airspace of the Mizbeach? De inami amrinon lino moeles beroish hamizbeach. Even if one were to say that lino can affect something on the top of the Mizbeach, v'kiyem zeh es machshavosu v'sho ad lamocher v'tira. Let us say that a person, that the Kohen did a malika, the slaughtering of the Ola Sa'of on the top of the Mizbeach with a mindset of putting it into the fire the next day. That's called a psul machsheva zman. And in fact, he does the Malika Sa'of at the top of the Mizbeach, and he does not throw it into the fire immediately and waits till the next day. Nevertheless, bas haktorahi. If you say Avir Mizbeach is kemizbeach, then it's kolta lei. The Mizbeach has absorbed it, has entrapped it, if you will. Daha psulim sha'alu lo yerdu. We know that psulim, things that are disqualified, that go up, are not to be taken down. Ve'kevon debas haktora mochor lechatchilo hi. Since this oila sa'of whose malika was done with a psul chuchlismano, and he in fact tarried and did not put the ola sa'of into the fire until the next day. But since it comes under the category of psulim sha'or olu, lo yerdu, it's something that lo yerdu means it's to be offered. The kevon debas haktora mochor lichatchilahi, and since it's something that is capable of being offered in the fire lichatchila, amai posla bo machsheves haktoras mochor. So then, how in the world can the psul machsheves zman ever take effect? So in the big picture, we know that an ola sa'of can become posel through a machsheves zman. And theoretically, that would mean that if one were to take this ola sa'of that was had malika with a machsheves chutz lizman and eat it, he would be chayev koreis. And we know that such a thing exists. However, if you say that avir mizbeach to mizbeach dami, when he does malika of this oila sof on the top of the mizbeach, you have something that is subject to being offered, that can be offered. And since it's something that can be offered even the next day, so why is it that it becomes posel with a machshav of chutz lizmano? Are we not dealing with something that in fact can be offered? So why should the chiyuv chutz lizmano ever be chal on it? Maskif lo Rav Simi bar Ashi. Before we go on, we should just go over the main point, and that is that since we know that an oila sa'of can be nifsal with a machsheves chutz lizmano, it must be that avir mizbeach is simply not considered like on the mizbeach. And being that that's the case, the ola sa'of is not a bas haktor, it's not something that can be put into the fire. And as a result of that, it certainly lends itself to being labeled as psul machshava. The Gemara responds though, maskif lo Rav Simi barashi, aloma lo mishkachas lo. Why is it that you cannot have a case of an ola sa'of being nifsal b'machsheves chutz lizmano, and at the same time I will still say that avir mizbeach is kimizbeach domi? How, you will ask, then does the psul machshava set in? Kedoin di omar. An example would be that the kohen declares areini molko al menas lahayrida lemochar ulahaloiso lahaktira. He announces, I am doing the malika with the intention of taking it off the mizbeach tomorrow and then bringing it back up on to offer it after its time lapse, namely on that tomorrow. At the point that he mentions lehoirida, then you have a situation of something that of a posel that's taken off is not allowed to be brought back on the mizbeach. And since it's at that point it would be a lav bas haktora, so then it would in fact become posel. However, if there would be no element of horoda, claims Rav Simi bar Ashi, avir mizbeach is kemizbeach domi, and the psul of chutz lizmano would in fact not set in. So we want to just emphasize that Rav Simi bar Ashi is taking the approach that avir mizbeach in fact is ke mizbeach, as you can see from the positioning of the triangle point facing up. As far as how is it that if you hold avir mizbeach ke mizbeach domi, how can the oila sa'of become posel with a psul machshava? It's because he adds in his psul machshava the intention of taking it off the mizbeach. The Gemara goes on and with a response, we'll call it an attack on Rav Simi bar Ashi's contention. Ho nicho l'rova di omar lino mo'eles b'roish ha-mizbeach. The scenario that Rav Simi presents will be a realistic approach if you hold like Rava that holds that lino can set in on something that's Beroish HaMizbeach. What was the case that Rav Simi suggested? That he does Malik on the top of the Mizbeach. He does the Malika on the top of the Mizbeach with the intention of removing it the next day. But when Amud HaShachar went by, it was still on the Mizbeach. Well, does that make a difference? According to Rava, it doesn't help the fact that it was on before, while Amud HaShachar passed, because Rava holds, like we learned earlier, that Lina sets in even with regard to something that's Beroish HaMizbeach if it's taken off subsequently. The Psul Lina takes effect. However, Elo L'Rabba D'Yomer Ein Lina Mo'eles Beroish HaMizbeach Lesa L'mach Shavosai. Rav Simi's suggestion will not work according to Rabba. So the question then is, how is it that the Oilas Ha'oif, that's Nimlik of Beroish HaMizbeach, even with an intention of Almanas L'Rida L'Mochar, that would not enable the Psul Machshava to set in? Unless, of course, you take the approach that Avir Mizbeach is Lav K'Mizbeach Dami, as you can see from the triangle that we just finished, the inverted triangle. The Gemara says back, no. I could still take the position like Rav Simi Barashi that Avir Mizbeach K'Mizbeach Dami, and if you'll ask, how about that Oila Sa'of being Nifsal B'Psul Machshava, Lo Rabo Nami Mishkachas Lo, we can give you a scenario where the Psul Machshava will set upon that Oila Sa'of Kegoyin Diomar, for example, where the Koyin declares Hareini Molko Almenas Lohirida Koidem Amud HaShachar Ulahaloisa liachar amud hashachar. Even according to Rabba that says lino is not moyel's version of mizbeach, that's provided it's on the mizbeach when amud hashachar passes. However, in this case, he expresses an intention of removing it before amud hashachar. At that point, if he removes it before amud hashachar, the psulina will definitely set in. So that by his declaring he's going to remove it before Amud HaShachar and put it back up after Amud HaShachar, you're dealing with something that's not a bas haktara. It's not something that is allowed to be offered in the first place. And since it's not allowed to be offered, there is room for the psul machshava to set upon it, to set in. So that at this point in the Gemara, we've reinforced, or we've reestablished Rav Simi Bar Ashi's contention that Avir Mizbeach is Kim Mizbeach. And as far as the Psul Machshava setting upon the Oila Sa'if, that's because the Kohen made a declaration that his intention was to remove it from the Mizbeach before Amud HaShachar, and that in the event that someone actually does that, it becomes a non-Bas HaKtara. Therefore, a Machshava of this nature can set in. And the Gemara goes further. Lahach giso mio tifsho de avir mizbeach kim mizbeach domi. Very, very interesting structure, and of course, thanks to the markings, we're able to navigate. And you'll notice how Rashi, and we've done this with what we mentioned before with our markings in the Rashi to show how sensitive Rashi is to the structure. If you look at the Rashi toward the bottom of the page, lahach giso mio tifsho. Rav Simi misayin bo ba'atakafte hochi. This is really Rav Simi continuing in his attack. Remember, originally Rav Simi came in with a maskif law, Rav Simi, where Rav Simi was opposing the opinion that held avir mizbeach lav kemizbeach. Rav Simi trying to argue it's kemizbeach, and he says, "I want to advance the following to point out to bolster my position that Avir Mizbeach is Kim Mizbeach." And Rashi continues, At boy lemelech minei Avir Mizbeach lav Kim Mizbeach domi. Well, you want to try to show that it's not Kim Mizbeach. So I, says Rav Simi, li'idoch gisa motzis lemifshat mino ulemeimar the Kim Mizbeach domi. quite the opposite, says Rav Simi, that you can prove that Avir Mizbeach is Kimizbeach. Because if it's not, and then we have to go on in the Gemara now to see how he proves his point. So continuing from the second line from the bottom, Lahach Giso Mio Tifshot Avir Mizbeach Kimizbeach Domi. De'i Salko Daitoch Avir Mizbeach La Kimizbeach Domi. Because if one were to think otherwise, one were to think that airspace of Mizbeach is not like the Mizbeach, Chatos Ha'oif Psula Hefi Maze Mi Doma Havele Yorud. A Chatos Ha'oif, unlike the Olas Ha'oif, the Chatos Ha'oif Malika is to take place on the top of the Mizbeach. Let us say he did a Chatos Ha'oif, a bird sin offering. Let us go over this point to correct ourselves. The Chatos Ha'oif is not to be done on the Rosh HaMizbeach. Let us say that he did do a Malika of a Chatos Ha'oif Shaloi Lishmo on the top of the Mizbeach. Rashi points out at the top, Chatos Ha'oif Psula, Shemolka Barosh HaMizbeach Shelo Lishma, where he did it with an undefined or an unfocused, incorrectly focused mindset. Shelo Lishma means he had intention for something other than the sin offering aspect. So he did Malika of a Chatos Ha'oif Shelo Lishma Upasla, that thereby ruins it. The Avagav the Loi Nasis Lamaton, even though the Malika was not done below where it should be done. Homar Marliel Molka Bechol Mokim B'Mizbeach Kshera V'Lo Pasul Mala Greda. Remember, when it comes to Malika, wherever it's done, it's okay. The mere bringing up of the Chatos Ha'oif to the top of the Mizbeach does not ruin it. But when does a Chatos Ha'oif become ruined because of incorrect location? Elo behazo'a, if its hazo'a is done in the incorrect location. Veheicha demolka bepsul b'roish ha'mizbeach, where he did the malika in an improper way on the top of the Mizbeach. Vekaimelon, and we hold b'chol ha'psulim mimolu lo yerdu. We hold that things that are disqualified, however, if they're brought up, they're not to be brought down. So, going over our scenario, a Chatos Ha'oif, whose Malika was done Shelo Lishma on the top of the Mizbeach, we know that you're supposed to, once you're there, so Lo Yerdu, and finish off the job on the top of the Mizbeach. Well, if you hold that Avir Mizbeach is Lav Kemizbeach, Hechi, Rashi goes on, Hechi Shori Lei Mor Lahazois Midoma, how can you allow the sprinkling of the blood of this Chatos Ha'oif Psula? Hare Magvia Umatiz Kesheoiches Bo Umazav Avalei Yorud. Are you not, in fact, holding the Chatos Ha'oif in your hand above the Mizbeach? And you agree that you do the sprinkling, well, how can you accept that? How can you allow the sprinkling to take place? If you hold that Avir Mizbeach is Lav Kemizbeach, then once it's in the airspace, it's considered as if it's off the Mizbeach. And once it's considered as if it's off the Mizbeach, so you would not be allowed to continue in its offering, in the sprinklings. That's one point. Another point. Sha'ar psulim hechi zorek luhu midama. Other cases of psulim, blood of animal offerings. How can the sprinklings of those ever take place? After all, we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel said that anything that's fit for the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach includes blood and Nisachim. So even though we're dealing with something that's not to be placed in the fire, but we're focusing, as Rashi says in Rabbi Gamliel Shita, that darshins the word Mizbeach, he says that dam that's posel, dam of a sacrifice that became disqualified, the dam became disqualified, but if it's brought on the Mizbeach, it is not to be brought down. But how in the world can you do the sprinklings of such blood? Once you're about to do the sprinklings, the blood is not on the floor of the Mizbeach. It's not on the surface of the Mizbeach. It's in the airspace. And yet we know that im alu lo yerdu, and that you're able to continue these sprinklings, but how can that be if you hold avir mizbeach lav kemizbeach? So the Gemara answers, in other words, the opinion that holds that it's lav kemizbeach, he tries to answer that these two questions as follows, or these two points of Rav Simi bar Ashi as follows. The blood is never really taken off the top of the Mizbeach, it's never removed from the surface of the Mizbeach, because de mago lehu, mago means contact. It remains in contact with the wall, the floor and the wall of the Mizbeach. In other words, the chatas of that Malika was done on top of the Mizbeach, The bird is kept on the floor or the top of the roof, and the sprinklings of the blood are done on the wall of the Mizbeach without actually picking it in, without actually lifting it into the air. And likewise with regard to the Zrikas Dam of that was Pusel. Rashi says very briefly, he says, Umeshani demaglu lekoisel Mizbeach. The Gemara says back, that's not a way to get out of the point. He says, ho hazahi misuhi. That's not called hazah. When you're dealing with a chatas of, one has to do an action that's called hazah. Mitsui is a situation that's where you squeeze the blood from the bird. You hold the bird to the wall of the Mizbech and squeeze the blood out on the wall. That would be okay, but not for a chatasov. That's true with an oilasov. But we know that a chatasov psula, one is able to do the hazah. And hazah is where you do a throwing action, not a squeezing action. But what you're describing by saying demagalahu, is that hazah? The Gemara says that's mitzui. And with regard to the Zrikas Hadam of other animal sacrifices, if you're going to do this approach of Maga Lahu, trying to maintain constant contact between the blood and the surface of the Mizbeach, that would not be called Zrika. Zrika means at a distance. The Gemara goes on. At the base represents the second point that was mentioned before. Ha Zrika Shvichahi. Is that Zrika? That's not Zrika. Zrika is the method of sprinkling the blood. That's called Shvicha, what you described when you said Maga Lahu. And therefore, Maga Lahu is not a solution for those kinds of sacrificial blood that require Zrika. The Ode, and furthermore, V'chi Derech Hazo'o Bekach, Derech Zrika Bekach, is this the way to begin with of doing these blood applications? And yet we know that Dam Shenifsal, that's brought onto the Mizbeach, is not to be taken down and rather applied where it is. And since it's not the derech hazah or the derech zrika to keep the bird or the blood of other sacrifices simply attached to the surface of the Mizbeach, rather you do have to lift it up into the air in order to do these actions, it must be because avir Mizbeach ke Mizbeach. Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi takes a very dramatic approach, a big turnaround, so to speak, to the entire sugya. He says that the original question is not really answered whatsoever by what we have said till now. Up till now, we're describing cases, if you're trying to prove your point, let's say like Rav Simi bar Ashi did, trying to prove the point regarding the by citing the case of Chatasay Psula on the top of the Mizbeach, how can you do it? Or other Dumim Psulim that one brings to the top of the Mizbeach, how can it be done? All of those cases involve a Kohen holding the blood while he's standing Barosh Hashem Mizbeach. So it's true that the blood may be held in his hand above the surface of the Mizbeach, but the Kohen himself is standing on the Mizbeach. And as long as the Kohen is attached to, he's standing, he's not hovering over the Mizbeach, he's on the Mizbeach. And as long as he is on the Mizbeach, everything is considered attached. That's not considered the airspace of our original question. The original question that was on the top of Pei Zayin Beis, where the Gemara asked, Ibayalo Avir Mizbeach Mizbeach Domi. Our question is something else, and we have not answered that. What is, in fact, the question? It's a case where the Kohen is standing on the ground, and he has a long pole, let's say a fishing pole, if you can imagine that momentarily, and suspended from the fishing pole is the item in question. Either it's the avorim hapsulim, the limbs that became disqualified, or the blood that became disqualified, and he's suspending it over the top of the Mizbeach while standing on the ground, holding a long pole with the items, with the sacrificial items, suspended over the airspace of the Mizbeach. What is the din regarding those limbs? Do we say, under those circumstances, Avir k'mizbeach k'mizbeach domi, and the suspended limb shall remain on the Mizbeach, or not? But as far as the proofs to the original question from the case of the Chatas Of or Domim Psulim, says Rav Ashi, you cannot conclude the original question because our original question did not involve the case of a Kohen standing with the blood or with the limbs on the Mizbeach proper. Omar Rav Ashi, now we'll read that inside. If a Kohen is holding the blood or the limbs while standing on the top of the Mizbeach, even though the blood or the limbs may be held in his hands suspended over the Mizbeach, that's not considered airspace, as we said, because he, as Rashi says, and we've dashed underlined this in the middle of the Rashi, the fact that the Kohen himself is standing on the Mizbeach is as if the sacrificial item is also on the Mizbeach proper. Ki kome by alon, the original question was the koya ara, where the kohen is standing on the floor of the azora, the talinu bekanyo mai, and the sacrificial items, whether it be the limbs or the blood, is suspended at the end of a long pole over the mizbeach. What is the din then? Is it considered ka'avir? Avir mizbeach kimizbeach domi ona or olo? Teku, this issue remains unresolved. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.